Praise be Jesus and Mary. In today's Gospel, St. Mark speaks of Jesus' baptism when John the Baptist saw a vision in the heavens of the Holy Spirit descending upon our Lord like a dove, and then came the voice of the Heavenly Father saying, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." Mark 1, verse 11. So by now, this appearance of the Holy Spirit and this locution from the Heavenly Father are part of the deposit of faith. They're part of public revelation being recorded and transmitted in sacred scripture, so there's no question as to their authenticity. Time for public revelation being closed with the death of St. John the Apostle. The question now turns to private revelation. Not that private revelation can change or add anything to what God has already revealed, but the question is, how do the faithful and how does the church discern between private revelations which are authentic and those which are false? Pope Benedict XVI, in his apostolic exhortation, Verbum Domini, briefly addressed the question of private revelations. In it, he shares an important quote from St. John of the Cross, which I think we need to keep this one in mind. St. John of the Cross said this. He said, "Since God has given us his Son, his only word, for he possesses no other, he spoke everything at once in the sole word and has no more to say, because what he spoke before to the prophets in parts, he has spoken all at once by giving us this all who is his Son. Any person questioning God or desiring some vision or revelation would be guilty not only of foolish behavior, but also of offending him by not fixing his eyes entirely on Christ and by living with the desire for some other novelty." Unquote. So what St. John of the Cross is saying there, and essentially Pope Benedict as well is highlighting, is that we shouldn't be seeking some other hidden or private truths or revelations outside of Christ, outside of the church, and outside of God's public revelation. Revelation and salvation are public, they're not private. It's not a Gnostic secret that only a select group of people has access to. That's not God's revelation. The Holy Father, though, then adds this. He says, "The criterion for judging the truth of a private revelation is its orientation to Christ himself. If it leads us away from him, then it certainly does not come from the Holy Spirit, who guides us more deeply into the gospel and not away from it. Private revelation," says the Holy Father, "is an aid to this faith, and it demonstrates its credibility precisely because it refers back to the one public revelation." So private revelations are meant to help a person or to help the faithful better live how the church already says that we're supposed to live as Catholics. Private revelations are not a faith substitute. In the next few homilies that we'll give, we'll look at the criteria that the church and the saints and good theologians offer us for trying to discern between private revelations which are true and those which are false. Someone may say, "Well, we shouldn't have anything to do with any private revelations that the church hasn't pronounced on yet." Sometimes you hear that. Well, the church herself does not say that. Dr. Mark Miravalli answers that objection pretty well in a booklet he wrote, Private Revelation, Discerning with the Church. He writes this. He says, "Can an obedient member of the Catholic Church make a personal assent of belief regarding a reported revelation before the church, local or universal, has made an official statement about its authenticity?" Question. The answer, based on the church's repeated precedent, is in the affirmative. So yes. While respecting the need for prudence and appropriate caution regarding any reported apparition about which appropriate church authorities have not yet made a determination, the faithful are nonetheless free to make their own personal discernment and decision of authenticity based upon the same norms which the church uses in its authoritative evaluation. Practically speaking, it's oftentimes only after the faithful begin pilgrimage to privately reported apparitions to their sites that the local church actually initiates its authoritative evaluation. So, yes, you can, as long as you have good discernment, good judgment, and you're using the criteria that the church gives. Then Dr. Miravalli gives a pretty good example of why you can believe some private revelations even before the church investigates them. He uses the example of Fatima. He says, the beatification of the Fatima visionaries, Jacinta and Francisco Marto, by now canonization, in 2000 by John Paul II, further illustrates the legitimacy of the faithful personally accepting a private revelation as authentic before the church's official decision. Francisco and Jacinta died in 1919 and 1920, respectively, some 10 years before the church's official approval of the Fatima apparitions on October 13, 1930. In fact, Jacinta and Francisco were beatified for the heroic living of the Fatima message, which in their lifetimes remained a reported apparition as yet unapproved by the church. Unquote. In 1978, the Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which they got rid of the sacred, then it became the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, now it's the Dicastery. I don't know why they keep changing the name, but anyway, the CDF established some basic norms for the discernment of apparitions. The first thing to note is that the competent authority to judge the validity of private revelations is in the hands of the local bishop. So the local ordinary is the first official line of defense and discernment. From there, if necessary, can go to the regional or national Catholic National Conference of Bishops, even to the Holy See as well. And that 1978 CDF document gives some guidelines for rendering a negative judgment or a positive judgment that we should keep in mind if private revelations ever cross our paths. And here they certainly do at the farm, right? Positive criteria, so things that the church would make the church lean towards a positive judgment include having the moral certitude, or at least the great probability of the existence of the fact acquired by means of investigation. So, for example, if someone claims that Our Lady appeared to them in a certain place and talked with them, there needs to be some solid, reasonable evidence to back up that claim. In regards to the visionary or locutionist, some questions to ask are, one, obviously, do they have psychological equilibrium? So are they psychologically sound, or do they have problems or disorders? Do they at least lead an honest and upright life, morally speaking? Are they sincere? Are they habitually docile towards church authority, so priests, pastors, confessors, bishops? If they're docile and obedient, that's a good sign. Are they able to return to a normal regimen of a life of faith after what they claim has happened to them? Why? Because again, private revelation is not meant to be a substitute for the ordinary means of grace, for prayer, sacraments, works of mercy, things of that nature. It's an aid, not a substitute. As regards the revelation that they claim to have seen or received, that 1978 CDF document asks, does it contain true theological and spiritual doctrine which is immune from error? So if there are errors mixed in, it might even be just human error. So the error of the seer or the interpreter or what have you, or it might be from the devil. As regard the fruit of those revelations, the document asks, do they foster healthy devotion, spirit of prayer, conversion, testimonies of charity, things of that nature? If so, obviously all of these are positive signs. Negative criteria, so criteria that indicates that there's nothing supernatural and perhaps even something demonic, include manifest error of the fact. So for example, someone claims that they were in a certain church at a certain time praying and Our Lady appeared to them, and you go there, you do some investigation, you find out there were people in the church at that time praying and no one saw this person there. Okay, probably might not be the case that they were actually there. Another example, there's an alleged prophet in North America, I believe he's in Canada, who prophesied a while ago that Pope Francis would be martyred and that Pope Benedict XVI would step in and convene a new council after that. So that's a swing and a miss on that one, in case you're wondering, right? Yesterday, Pope Francis actually presided over Pope Benedict's funeral mass. Also, if there are other doctrinal errors in the supposed revelation attributed to God himself or to Our Lady or to some other saints, so if the locutions or voices are saying things which are doctrinally false, not a good sign. At the same time, again, the church does say you have to be careful because the seer or the locutionist might have added something which is purely human, the natural order to an authentic revelation. So they might have made a mistake themselves. So as a side note to this, you see, you're listening to this and understanding, it's not so clear cut and dry how to discern private revelation. It's not as easy as we'd like it to be. It takes a lot of discernment to be able to do that. Also, the CDF document states that if there's evidence that there's any money-making motive behind the alleged apparitions or phenomena, not a good sign. Also, if there are gravely immoral acts committed by the subject or their followers when the fact occurred or in connection with it, it's a sign it's not from God, too. Very clearly, if the person has some psychological disorder or psychopathic tendencies, which with certainty influenced on the presumed supernatural fact, or if there's psychosis or other things like that, bad or shaky mental health or emotional health or stability on the part of a seer or locutionist certainly casts doubts on their claims. So all of these criteria taken individually don't guarantee that a private revelation is true or not, but what they do is they give you a good indication as to the nature of what's going on. They should all be cumulatively or with some mutual convergence studied, the document actually states. So you got to take all the pieces together and put them together before you make a good judgment. There are a lot of visionaries and locutionists which the church doesn't and hasn't pronounced on. How do we discern those as best as we can when we have to? Well, along with the criteria that we just mentioned in the next couple of reflections, we'll also add a few things about how better to distinguish between private revelations that come from God, those that come from the devil, or those that maybe just come from our imagination or are fabricated. And we'll end today's reflection with two quotes from the saints about what's very important for those who claim to have private revelations. Perhaps more than anything, they need to be obedient. In her autobiography, our Lord tells St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, who received a number of visions and locutions, he said to her at one point, he said, "Listen, my daughter, and do not lightly believe and trust every spirit, for Satan is angry and will try to deceive you. So do nothing without the approval of those who guide you. Being thus under the authority of obedience, his efforts against you will be in vain, for he has no power over the obedient." And St. Faustina Kowalska in her diary adds, she says, "Satan can even clothe himself in a cloak of humility, but he does not know how to wear the cloak of obedience." It's paragraph 939. So obedience is our best safeguard when dealing with these matters. Let's ask Our Lady then to help us to be discerning and to help us to discern any claims of private revelations so that we won't be deceived, but rather that our faith will be preserved and strengthened and even grow. Praise be Jesus and Mary.